It's time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're here, and sometimes we're not all there, but somebody is all here, and it's James Anderson, head of the Marion County Park District, the naturalist. And do you find anything natural out there?
Oh, all everything.
You know, James, first of all, this has been a different winter.
Oh, it sure has.
And people say, well, you see what's happening. We're undergoing a change in the weather. And I say, well, that's what happened to Noah when his ark started floating.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We better build a big boat then.
Yeah. Did they say at the time of Noah, we got to stop burning so much coal? Oh, my. Well, anyhow, James Anderson will be with us today. And also, I'll be taking calls for answers to your questions, and then we'll make a drawing at 10:55 or 11:55, and that person will get a free root beer float at Stewart's.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I used to work a few doors down from Stewart's.
Oh, that's right, from the WMRN station.
Right. Yeah, and there were two places. There was a foot-long hot dog stand north of Stewart's. And Stewart's had, of course, root beer and footlongs and other sandwiches. And so, depending on when we were paid as to what we were going to eat.
Yeah.
Now, the footlongs were 35 cents.
Oh, wow.
They aren't today,
of course.
But, and I've got the recipe for the everything sauce for those footlongs, which the family wanted to keep secret, but one of the members gave it to me, and I blasted all over.
Oh.
That's me. Well, James, okay, now we're in a little different winter, like I say. We don't see Noah going by in the ark, but we do see warmer temperatures all in all.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, I've got records from back in the 70s. I ought to get those out and look at them to see how much different we are.
I bet it's quite different.
It must be. Now, we had one year of extreme cold when the frost level was 51 inches down.
Really? Wow.
That's a lot of frozen ground.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And you can imagine what cemeteries went through trying to bury someone.
Oh, wow.
I know a friend of mine that I replaced at WMRN was killed on a highway, on ice and everything, and it was so cold they couldn't dig his grave, and they stored him for some time, waiting for it to thaw to dig a grave.
Well, it's kind of interesting you're saying that. Have you ever heard of a service berry tree?
No.
So it's a little native tree that we have in the state of Ohio, and it goes by different names, but the name service berry came from, like you said, during the early times when people were, you know, passing away,
right,
they couldn't dig a hole to put the grave. And they said by the time the service berries were blooming their flowers, the ground was thawed enough to have a giant service for everybody.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's where that term, the service berry.
Well, now that is interesting. You have to remember that, folks. There are so many of you listening. And besides that, and right now, before we continue, I'll take a call. I have two different questions today. The one was when did the Mansfield Stewart's close? Was that it?
Yes. What
okay.
year?
Okay. What year did the Mansfield Stewart's close? And what is the another one of the ingredients in root beer? Yep. Now I go to Pennsylvania every year where the Amish make root beer concentrate like in gallon jugs, but there's no fizz in it. They don't. I don't know if they believe in non-carbonation or not, but it's about as flat as you can get.
Oh, I bet.
Oh boy. Well, anyhow, if you can tell me what other ingredient is in root beer, and despite the fact that Scott doesn't like anise, there's anise in root beer.
Yeah.
But now I don't know if it's in Stewart's or not. But in all these different concentrates you can buy, including, what's the most popular concentrate you can buy? Watkins.
Yeah.
Watkins products. They sell root beer concentrate. Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
You can find it on the internet. In fact, you can order it from the internet.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, so what year did the Mansfield... make sure I got my phones all in order here. I wish we had a shorter reach here. Oh my. Okay. And what other 7403399 44, and I'll put your name on a thing here, and we'll make a drawing at 11:55, and then whoever wins that. We send their name over to Stewart's Root Beer, and when you go there, then you can show them your credentials. Say, I'm the one that won the root beer float. I think he's given away two of them. One, Scott should have given away one, and then me, I think. 7403399 44. Okay. Now, a warmer weather does what in for wildlife?
So if our little worm snaps, of course, then everybody kind of thinks, hey, it's spring. It's time to get out.
And then a cold front comes.
Then a cold front comes. And we've talked about this in the past. It can get harmful, especially with reptiles and amphibians when they keep going back and forth and back and forth.
Right.
Because, you know, it takes a lot of energy to go into hibernation and get out of hibernation.
Next week will be a good example. I think we're supposed to get up to in the 50s or 60 one
yes.
day. Now, if things start to emerge that shouldn't at that time, there could be a problem, eh?
There could be, and if that cold front comes by, yep, it can harm them. And in southern Ohio, a lot of the amphibians are already coming out. I have a lot of friends down in around southeastern Ohio, and they said the salamanders are migrating through to their fernal pools to breed.
No kidding.
Yep, yep.
Wow, okay. So, really interesting. I'm trying to see here. If my phone is still working. Yeah, it should be. Let me see here. I don't know. It said I missed a call. Okay. All right. Okay, yeah. Okay, so around here, what animals would be emerging? Now, we know on the highway, groundhogs, raccoons, and skunks.
Oh, yeah.
And what else is there? We don't see many rabbits.
Well, I mean, it depends, but yeah, not typically a lot of rabbit roadkill.
Okay, and the buzzards are back before March 15th.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, every year it gets a little earlier, and now here's the extreme I went to. One day, this was a long time ago when my kids are tiny, I put them in my trailer on my bicycle, and we went out and rode for probably 40 miles looking for buzzards.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they'll ever forget that. And we never saw any that day, but I think the next day or two I did.
That's how it always works. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that true? But the buzzards are back, not in full force right now, but they soon will be because a buzzard would starve if he didn't have roadkill to eat.
That's right. Yeah.
But now what happens to all the animals that don't die on the roads, that die of some other cause?
So decomposition, I mean, it's going to take place. I mean, you got some insects that might be out, but some funguses, bacteria. But decomposition, it's going to be a lot slower rate in the winter than it would be in the summer.
Yes, okay. So a lot of animals die on their own, their age.
Yeah.
And everything, and they die with away from our sight. We don't know
typically
they're in the woods, but the buzzards know.
Yes, yeah, because they have a very great sense of smell, so they can find the dead carcass a lot easier.
And so what do buzzards rely on for to aid them in their flights?
So they have to use what's called thermals, which are like, I call invisible tornadoes, which is warm air that rises above the ground and it swirls. And that's why you always see them in that spiraling motion.
Right behind my house, there's a thermal that is produced more often than not. And they circle like crazy behind our house. Yeah. And in here, I used to work at the cemetery and at the old Isley house. There were all these buzzards that roosted in the tree by the Isley house. They would take off at 10:20 every morning and come back going on 5 in the afternoon. I kept track of that every day.
Huh.
I'm a nut on things like that. But, there are certain places where they like to gather.
Yeah.
And I wonder why.
They just like high grounds. I mean, that's where roost for the evening.
Yeah.
Sycamores are always a good spot to spot turkey vultures or black
white
vultures.
White sycamores, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, down around the Olentangy River, there are a lot of there's sycamores around a lot of the rivers.
Yes. Yep.
They like water, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, yeah, they're water-loving trees.
And so, in fact, I saw my first pileated woodpecker along the Olentangy years and years ago, and it took me about 20 years to find the next one.
Oh, yeah.
And ironically, he landed outside our bedroom window on a stump, and I about fell over. You know, I've been for years been trying to find another pileated woodpecker, and there he sits, so I got his picture.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, boy. Oh. So what else is happening out there?
So the one bird I definitely want to talk about today is the woodcock, and they're our earliest spring migrant.
Really?
Yep. They go down to the Carolinas, southern United States, and they're our first ones to head back up to Ohio.
Okay, so how would we know it's a woodcock if we see it flying?
So for flying, especially this time of year, it's the breeding season, so they do like we've mentioned earlier, they do what's called the sky dance. It means the male will go up and he'll keep swirling and swirling around hundreds and hundreds of feet above the air, and then he swoops on down and dives down. And then he performs another display, and that female, she's judging him as he's doing
that. Yeah, what a guy.
I know, right?
Well, that's interesting, yeah. Now, normal, I've never seen a woodcock and doing this. I guess I haven't been in the right place at the right time, and I've been told where I would be apt to see one.
Big Island Wildlife Area?
Yeah.
That's a really good area to find them. Anywhere that has a lot of big open areas, but also with, tree lines, old farm fence rows. That could be a good area. Tallgrass Trail, the trailhead is usually a good area to find the woodcocks, and that's where I usually find them, between the trailhead and right at the first bridge, right before the lake. So that's a good spot to find them.
Okay, good enough. Going back to telephones today and the free root beer float at Stewart's, can you answer the question, when did the last Stewart's close in Mansfield, and what other secret ingredient would you find in root beer that we haven't talked about before, or we haven't, Scott hasn't talked about? He keeps looking for this answer. and what is it? And where are all the people that called Scott there for a whole hour? I haven't heard one of them yet, but I'm sure we will eventually. Okay, and the whole story. The current owner of Stewart's Root Beer that bought the franchise is a company that has a kind of an English title to it, and that we would find more around Easter time. See if you can figure that one out. Now, before that, there was a company that bought them, bought the franchise and the whole company before that, but this is the latest company I'm looking for. They paid $1.45
billion. Oh, wow.
Almost $1.5 billion to get the franchise.
That's a lot of money.
Isn't it? Oh, boy. That's a lot of root beers.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Man, oh, man. Yeah. And so if you can name the company that that's worth $1.45 billion because of the ownership of the original Stewarts. There have been different owners, like Cable Car Company. They had the bottling rights in 1990. And then they sold it to this other company that I'd like to get your answer to. 740-383-9944. In the meantime, you're going to get an education on what is out there in the great fields beyond downtown. Oh, boy. Now, you have programs. I know the weather didn't seem to slow down your assigned programs for the winter.
Yeah, for especially our winter hike series.
Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the man who heads the activities of the Marion Park District. And now you guys get together as a group once a month, don't you, for a meeting to make decisions on different things?
Yes, and then also our friends group, which is our sister organization.
Okay.
So we usually meet every fourth Wednesday, and then our board meetings are every third Thursday.
Okay. Now, do you have plans on getting an aide for this coming season?
Yes, I've actually been advertising for an intern. We got a couple bites, so a couple entrants. Or interests, and I actually was at Hocking College last Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Where I went to school, because they had a job career fair, and it's actually funny, there was no one in Marion County that was there, but there was one kid from Morrow County and a couple from Mansfield that were sort of interested, so we'll see where it goes. So, yeah, if you know somebody who wants a summer job, it is a paid internship, please let us know, so we'll definitely get you hooked up.
Yeah, speaking of Morrow County, what's the facility in Morrow County next to the Sheriff's Department?
Headwaters.
Okay, the headwaters of Morrow County. And you, what goes on there during the year?
So they do about a big program, big event, about once a month starting from February all the way to November. And then their outdoor preschool program, they do from April and May, and then they do September and October.
Wow.
That's called We Discover. My son goes to that one.
Okay. Now, Mansfield, the one big facility over there is the Nature Preserve. What's it called?
Gorman Nature Center.
Yeah, that's it.
I go there quite often.
Oh, yeah. And I learned about that. I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I learned about that through Ed Lux.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
It's right off 42.
Oh, is that right?
The same as Headwaters, yeah.
Oh.
You just go through Lexington. You
just right go up. Far enough.
Yeah. It sits right there in between Lexington and Mansfield.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. So that'd be, all right. Yeah. Great. So there are opportunities besides Marion, but Marion is catching up fast.
We're trying.
Yes.
I'm going on 5 years in May, so it's...
Is that right? Five years?
Yeah. So, boy, we've definitely have done a lot in this 5 years. I've been really excited, and hopefully we get to continue for the future and do more education programs.
Good. Now, going back again, if you can give me the... I've got two questions today. What is one of the ingredients you in root beer you haven't... heard yet, and when did the Stewart's root beer close in Mansfield? They're all over New Jersey, I understand now. Okay, let me see here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, is that third ingredient Jupiner berries or cherries?
Yes, it's berries. Yes.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
You're pretty swift today.
Well, I've been trying.
Okay, what's your name?
Judy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now...
Well, I guess old Scott's a lot of them.
Yeah, okay. I'll put your name down here. Now, he's going to call Stewart's and say Judy is going to pick up a root beer. Float.
Oh, well, I can't go out for a while because I had surgery on my feet, so I can't go for a while.
All right. Well, I'll put your name, say, can't do it now because of surgery.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good, Judy. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye. All right.
He got his answer.
Barry, yeah. Okay, now the only other thing left is, when did Stewart's close in Mansfield? Okay, this must be... Okay, caller, go ahead.
Cadbury Sweeps. Purchase.
Yeah, Cadbury, Sweeps or Sweeps.
Sweeps, yep.
Okay, what's your name now?
Tammy Weber.
Tammy Weber. Now, just a second here. I'm writing your name down. Tammy Weber. So we'll put you in the drawing for the root beer float.
All right. Thanks, Charlie.
Okay. Bye.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, now, folks, Scott will call out and give the names to Stewart's. And I don't know if you'd have to show them who you are when you go there.
They didn't tell me. They just said it's a drawing. It's not, you're not giving one to everybody.
Yeah, right. It's a drawing. One person. But then we're going to call Stewart's and tell them who would be picking up that.
That's why you have to have both names, first and last.
First and last, yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay, back to our guest today, James Anderson. There's no wildlife in root beer.
Well, a little bit. If you go the old-fashioned with the birch or sassafras.
Well, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a neighbor once. She was a great historian. And she had a, was it birch that has roots that come up through the stick above the ground?
Those are cypress.
Cypress?
Ball cypress.
Okay, now this was sassafras. That's a sassafras tree.
Yeah, you get the roots and dry it out.
Yeah, right, yeah. And, does somebody picking up the goodies? All right. Okay. I've got a rain gauge. I'm going to give you a rain gauge before you go, James.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, you can tack that on the side of the, a man came in yesterday and gave me all these, Lauren Hershey. Lauren Hershey gave me about six rain gauges. And they're really nice. They're heavier plastic. They won't break so easy when they freeze.
Okay.
So remind me of that. I got them. They're still here yet.
Have you ever participated in local townships with the after rainfall you turn in how much rainfall? Okay.
I did that for 20 years.
20 years. Okay.
20 years. And I've got all those sheets yet. That I collected over that 20 years.
Okay.
And there is one county or one township in Marion County, Montgomery, that has the least amount of rain.
Really?
Over all those years. And the most amount of rain occurred in Tully Township.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing is, in Tully Township, even though they had the most rainfall, they didn't have the most underground water.
Huh.
But now, through Tully Township, they've got a lot of the Delco Water Company.
Okay.
And so that helped.
Okay.
So,
Interesting. Yes.
I ought to make copies of all my records, including the from 1970-something to 1980.
Okay.
I kept the official records for the city.
Yeah.
Including the one on the day of the blizzard.
Oh, wow.
And that was tough because the wind blew the snow around.
Oh, I bet.
And some places where I would measure, there wasn't much snow at all. Other places, you had several feet of it. And so it doesn't give you the whole picture
okay. When
you just pick one spot.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah, but that's the way it is.
Yep.
Noah said, tally ho. Give me some more water, God. You know, that is interesting, though. The fact that of course, there weren't that many people around, I suppose, to say that we're undergoing a weather change. But if the entire earth was covered with water, something was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, but now, listen, let's hope we don't get the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
That has such great potential of becoming something really bad.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you wonder, too, now, didn't I think I heard in the news the head of Iran or somewhere got it?
And, I didn't hear about that.
And which makes me wonder, are any of these little countries like that spreading things like this? Since their head got it, you know, I can't remember.
Biological warfare, I guess that's what they call it.
But anyhow, it was in China.
Yeah.
And I don't think of Japan. I haven't heard.
I'm not sure in Japan. My wife has a friend who teaches in China.
Oh, wonderful.
They had to close their school for almost a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they did online lessons and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we got a... Yeah. I was given a rain gauge away yesterday. I have to make sure I got plenty of them left here.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I had a friend that was teaching in China. And it's interesting how he merged with the kids, and they all had a nice, friendly group of students all together. And, you know, there was no animosity or anything toward the United States.
Well, that's good.
Probably because we mean a lot to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, going back, you talked about, and you've got one sitting in front of you.
Yep.
The bird called the woodcock.
Woodcock are also known as timber doodle or a bog sucker, twister, or a mud snipe. Oh, a lot of nicknames.
No kidding.
Kind of like the groundhog. You know
I'm
how
surprised
they have a lot of nicknames.
Them are called snipes.
Well, they are related to the snipe group.
Is that right?
Yep, they are.
Really is a snipe?
Yep, there is a real bird.
Really?
A real snipe. And I know you probably have been tricked. I was tricked in that old tradition.
Yeah, wait there. Because we're going to chase it towards you.
That's right. Get the pots and the pans and the pillow. Yeah, I fell on that trap. But, you know, I tell people that it's a Wilson snipe. And, they hang around usually in the spring, early summer, and then they migrate back up. But I saw one at Tallgrass Trail by her road last spring.
Yeah. So. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was a snipe, or what do they look like?
So they're a little bit taller than the woodcock, and they have these three big white stripes running down their back, versus woodcock doesn't have those big white stripes. Versus snipes like to hang around wetlands, anywhere like that, but first woodcocks, they like open fields, and they like the forest edge.
Yeah, what really gets me with all this, like I told James... for years,
Rich Bradley.
Bradley and I did the Christmas survey and never saw any of these unusual birds. Cedar waxwing and about a million sparrows.
Yes.
And things like that. But when I look at the Facebook of all the pictures taken of these birds, what was the latest one?
Today I put a Merlin.
Oh, Merlin?
Yeah, a Merlin was spotted.
Now, isn't that a type of a
falcon?
Falcon,
It's the medium falcon, the medium size.
No
one.
Kidding.
Yeah.
You actually? Oh my!
They are on LaRue Prospect Road outside of LaRue.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my land.
And then, like we mentioned before, it's March Madness with the duck season. So, especially at Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area, there's some people are getting pictures of 8 to 10 different species in Pond 27.
Wow. So. It's just hard to believe, but that's what happens when you have interested people observing and knowing what they're observing.
Yeah.
Really.
And luckily, I mean, we got a lot of local photographers having have huge lenses in them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're able to capture such wonderful pictures.
Oh, I guess. I often wonder, too, a lot of us use smartphones for everything. What's the difference between the quality of a smartphone and one of those long lenses?
So your smartphone would be good for typical anything really close to you, so within a few feet. Plant photography, you could probably get by. But for those long lenses, I mean, you can go, you know, several yards, 10, 20, sometimes 30 yards.
Okay.
And but versus a smartphone, even though you can zoom, it's very poor quality. So they can't zoom in very well.
Yeah, okay.
Unless, again, the bird's like right in front of you.
Yes,
you can get
right.
You can get a decent picture.
Yeah,
but that never really happens when you're birding.
How true. So, because of the amount of wildlife found in your tall grass trail area, I think that's got some people going up to Killdeer Plains, too.
Yeah, yeah. Killdeer is just a sliver of it's in Marion County, but most of it's in Wyandotte County. But it seems like, yeah, right now everybody's focusing there at Killdeer. And then kind of back and forth in Big Island, because a lot of, especially the swans and the ducks, kind of go back and forth.
Scott, did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marion native and Miss America Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
2 jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, back again with James Anderson from the Marion County Park District. Tall grass trail area, especially. And birds galore, including water birds and land birds and you name it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, now what's did I see something called a coot?
Yeah, coot, American coot. They're a type of water bird. They have specialized feet. So if you kind of imagine a duck foot, you know, it has that special web foot.
That webbed, yeah.
But for the coot, I always tell kids, it's like, imagine if someone got a knife or a pair of scissors and cut in between each.
And the web.
And the web. And they have what's called lobed feet, so it's really specialized, and they're great for paddling and all.
Oh, does that give them any more power or less power?
I would say maybe a little less power,
yeah.
But they're still able to dive to find food. But another nickname for the coots is to call them mud hen.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Now that's another thing. We've got diving ducks and surface ducks.
Yep, dabbling ducks. That's the
oh, dabbling is the diving.
No, the surface ducks are
okay.
Dabbling ducks.
Okay.
And then diving is their own group. And then there's the mergansers, are all called the fish ducks.
Ah, okay. We haven't had any double-breasted mergansers yet, have we?
We've had common mergansers and hooded mergansers, but I haven't seen red-breasted mergansers yet.
Yeah. Okay. There's on Lake Erie, they're having a problem with.
Oh, the cormorants.
Oh, cormorants.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We see them all the time.
Is that right?
I haven't seen them yet this year,
kidding?
But at Tallgrass Trail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's always very common to see them at the lake at the summer season.
Wow. No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any chance that you would ever be able to publish a book on things spotted at Tallgrass Trail?
Yeah, I've never thought about it, but maybe in the future I might consider that.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great thing. To hand out, if you had the money to produce it,
yeah,
to pass out to the schools of Marion County.
Oh, yeah, get the kids out there.
And, oh, my land, because I find even though I... Oh, here's a caller. Just a second. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, for the Stewart's in Mansfield, yeah. I'm going to guess 1990.
No, 1990. Oh, 1990. Well, that's close enough. It's actually 2012. So let me write your name down here.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I can keep guessing.
Well, that's all right. We do it multiple times. And so if I will call them and tell them you're one of the, if we get your number drawn.
Now, did you just give the year or not?
Yeah, well, it's good enough, 2012.
Oh, it was 2012?
Yes. According to Scott. But you're close enough, yeah. So okay. What's your name?
This is Judy again.
Judy?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're incapacitated right now to travel out there?
Yeah, because I had my feet surgery done, so I can't put on shoes.
Okay, so you don't walk far.
No, I don't walk outside, though.
Yeah, okay. All right, Judy. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Okay. Yeah, that answer was 2012. Okay. And let me see. Is this must be the original owner. I'm looking here. Yeah. If you can tell me the original owner, too, I think I got that name here. All right. 7403-39944. My guest today, of course, is James Anderson, who's on every month at the same time. And this is a little different, this particular episode. And, okay, we've mentioned just a few of the things you can see. Now, suppose you're someone not really being acquainted with the great outdoors, and you heard us talking about, and it's got your curiosity aroused, what would a person do? They would park there by the by your building.
Yeah, at the trailhead.
On Holland Road, which is near the water company.
Yep, it's right between the water company and Whirlpool.
Yes,
so we're
right.
Kind of smack there in the middle.
Yeah, with those big twin, three of them.
Yes,
yeah.
Yep, there's three turbines.
Yeah. And there's soon going to be 70-some of them west of it.
I heard, and yeah.
In the Hardin County, yeah.
Yeah, I heard about
them. Yeah, boy. Wouldn't that be something to get up and ride one of them?
Yeah.
Now they claim they've invented a robot that can travel up and down those blades looking for any problems.
Really? You know, I guess it's good a robot than a person.
I can't. Everything is robotic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my land, I can't believe. There's a channel 10.5 that every day has, they take you to factories and show robots in action.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, I bet.
James. And just to keep a robot finely tuned that it doesn't miss what it's supposed to be doing is something else.
Yeah.
And yet we have to have kids that are studying robots, which we do in Marion.
Yeah, they said that's kind of being the new industry.
Yeah. They're replaced. Yeah. Humans will be a thing of the past eventually.
We'll just be the repairmen and the robot will do all the work.
And then who's going to pay the phone bill?
Yeah.
The electric bill. But isn't it something, though, how robots... Now, in Columbus, they're banning the use of the robot or the automatic transportation buses where you got in and no one's in there except you.
Oh.
And away it goes. You tell it where to go.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. It's absolutely fantastic. That's what's nice about the great outdoors. There's no robots out there.
That's right.
And it's all just pure wildlife, the way our forefathers found it when they came here.
That's right.
And some of our forefathers came here just before 1800, and a lot of them shortly after.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, now we talked about coots
and
their paddle feet being a little different. We talked about the woodcocks and their spiral flight mating season.
Yep.
Isn't it interesting what some animals do to attract a female?
Oh, it's birds of paradise, which are out in New Zealand, New Guinea area.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have to work hard to attract a female. They do exotic dances, and it's so crazy.
There's that bird, too, that jumps up and down and has that bulbous thing, makes a sound from under its chin. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, the sage grouse. Has
Yeah,
the big old thing that pops out of his chest.
Yeah,
sage grouse out
west. Are they in this country, too?
Yeah, they're out in the western portion of the country.
No kidding. Wow.
So, yeah, and they form what's called leks, which means you get a bunch of males together, and they're all competing who's the biggest and who's the baddest, and that female, she's judging that. And
really?
And whoever comes out on top, then that's the boyfriend for the breeding season.
Isn't that something? Okay, now what do deer do to attract a mate?
So they kind of do the same thing a little bit. I mean, they do form like little groups, and of course, then they fight. Female judges that. And then also, too, the female, once she finds her partner, sometimes she will make that male chase her for about a day or so or more. Because she wants to test his endurance.
And if
he can keep... If he can keep up, then she's like, okay, then you're going to produce better young. But so that's why those bucks are just so worn out, because, you know, from fighting, chasing the does, and then that's when coyotes and bobcats are definitely trying to take advantage of a tired buck.
Yeah. How do we differentiate a male from a doe?
So it's actually funny right now you're saying that. This is the time that our deer are losing their antlers. What's called the shed season. So because of the breeding season's over, that testosterone is getting a lot lower. So the antlers are pretty much for attracting females and fighting against males. When you're not doing that, you don't have to spend that energy.
They'll
fall off.
What I'm wondering, when the antlers fall off, do they decompose?
Yes. Yep, they can decompose. But then a lot of times animals will chew on them because you can get a source of calcium.
Uh-huh.
Rodents, canines.
Now, if we were to... Here's another thing. If we picked up an antler that we find in the woods and want to put it on our our wall in our living room, is that legal?
Yes, that is in Ohio.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. Other states may have other requirements, but in Ohio, I have a lot of friends right now doing shed hunting.
Oh,
a lot
really?
Of times they'll get dogs and they'll train them to sniff out antlers, so...
Hey, that's interesting.
So it could be, you might go outside and you might see a deer with one antler. So.
Yeah.
Turner caught one at Killdeer a couple weeks ago with one antler.
Yeah. But if you mount one on your living room sidewall, it won't decompose while it sits there, will it?
No. Just when it's outside, out in the sun, and then again, most of the things are, again, animals is what causes it to break down.
I've never seen an antler lying around. I guess I haven't been in the woods enough.
I found a couple. I haven't found many.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So probably they're consumed then by other animals.
Yes.
For that, like you say, for calcium?
Yep, calcium.
Yeah.
And then if you can reuse the antlers, and if you get the same two from the deer or whatever, and then you can rattle for the next hunting season, so buck will get confused and say, hey, there's someone fighting my territory.
Kidding.
So, it's a double whammy.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something? Walk around carrying a couple of antlers.
I've done that.
There goes Goofy again.
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah, that's fascinating. Okay, it's about 4 minutes until 11 o'clock, and we'll be here till noon today. We've already got registered people for the root beer float, and I can almost taste one now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And do you ever notice when you put ice cream in root beer, it moves to the top?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what chemical reaction takes place, but there is some.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm not scientific enough to know what the chemical reaction would be to make that ice cream pop to the top.
It's probably more dense.
Yeah, that could be. So anyhow, Stewart's open today and in the midst of all this return of winter, but the return won't be long. We're going to warm up next week.
Yeah,
boy, oh boy. Now, tomorrow I'm going to have an astronaut on, Ray Seddon. She flew in a number of space. She's worked on the space lab, but in the shuttle. I think she did three shuttle voyages. And like I say, her book is 400 pages long, so there's a lot to gather from all that.
Oh, yeah.
I just hope I can intelligently question her tomorrow morning. And and it kind of times out, though, James. Right now, they're trying to find at least 300 people to train to be astronauts.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll find out if she's one of the instructors.
Okay. Well, you should ask her about the Mars expedition that they might do in the near future.
That's right, yeah. And why would you go to Mars? Well, you know, we know what's on the surface of Mars, don't we? I wonder if we know enough about the atmosphere that we could overcome the drawbacks of that, if it has any kind of it has heat and cold and...
Yeah.
I don't know. But they'll find out once they get there.
And then want to find water. So.
Yeah. There's no way of getting back so quick. Oh, boy. Well, we're coming up on shortly here, 11 o'clock, and Dan, James will be with me up until noon today. And I'm open for questions from you in the audience if you'd like to find out anything at all about the great outdoors. Here is the man with the answers, James Anderson from the Marion County Park District. And we're slowly inching up if my computerized clock is right. Let me see what mine says. Mine's not computerized. Mine says 11 o'clock. And this one here says 10 seconds yet. Okay. So we'll be back. Stay with us. James Anderson will be here till noon today.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.